Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised. For Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Now, did Cruz flip-flop or simply drop his beef with Trump and decide it was time to keep his promise and endorse the GOP nominee? And, of course, we'll have to talk about the Mercado Corta Norta. Corta Norta. That's a Venezuelan expression that basically refers to someone who spoils your fun, you know? Someone who, technically, it means vibe cutter. I mean, here we are coming out of a debate between Trump and Hillary where wonderfully substantive issues were discussed. You know, especially that part about Trump's involvement in the birther issue. Yeah, we got to redo that one. And his statements about Hillary not having the look or the stamina to be president. Well, who doesn't know that? But anyway, really, there was some substantive exchanges in this debate that we'll get to later on. But what does the media focus on coming out of the debate? Mercado, a beauty contest winner, Venezuelan beauty contest winner, that Trump said mean things to when trying to motivate her to lose weight in order to maintain the image she was supposed to present as Miss Universe. So that's all the media wants to talk about, it seems. So I say, Mercado is Corta Norta, the vibe cutter. But Trump, of course, being Trump, jumps right in. So he's being La Dia. Let's just say that's one who is somebody who's a super irritating personality. So we've got to talk about the debate, of course. Which of these candidates is truly unfit to hold the office of president? Well, U.S. Today says it's Trump. How did they come to that? And Judge Moore suspended for the rest of his term without pay because he instructed probate judges to deny same-sex couples a marriage license in compliance with a state Supreme Court ruling. But countermanding in that order a federal Supreme Court decision. And this, by the way, is that same judge that got into hot water for refusing a court order to remove his display of the Ten Commandments from his courtroom. Now, the big news story developing right now, as a kind of backdrop to that, or maybe that in the backdrop of this playing out in front of us right now, a 14-year-old kid who shot his dad, then went to school and shot three students at Townville Elementary School, wounded two six-year-olds and a teacher, I should say. And then this 14-year-old showed no emotion, by the way. And this usually is a signal of abuse of some sort, but that'll all be sorted out as the story develops. But at a time when our culture's running like a train off the rails, moving toward a major train wreck, we are punishing men like Roy Moore, who represent the very Christian-based values and ethics that we desperately need right now to slow down and get that train back on track. The train wreck in Hoboken, New Jersey. Our prayers are with all of you. What a nightmare. One dead, over 100 injured, at least so far. Hoboken, who, by the way, where the All-American game of baseball is reputed to have started. Oh, yeah, the first recorded game of baseball was played there in Hoboken, New Jersey. And in many other ways, that city stands as a kind of model of the American dream itself. And then that train USA, crashing into All-American Hoboken. Boy, that's a close metaphor for the train wreck coming to America unless someone finds a way to put the brakes on this runaway deficit and what is becoming a rogue government running roughshod over our rights. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal.
So did Cruz flip-flop or simply drop to his knees and kiss the boots Trump used to kick him in Trump's dirty fight tactics? Maybe he simply decided it was time to keep his promise and endorse the GOP nominee as he said he would, even if it meant kissing the boots of Trump. You know, the boots he used to kick him with. Cruz is telling us his reason for endorsing Trump is that he wants to keep his word. Well, okay. We should take his word for it, I suppose, but one does wonder why it took so long for him to come around to that. I mean, if that's his motivation now, where was that motivation during his convention speech? Why did he withhold his endorsement in the first place? And did those reasons disappear? What changed? Did Trump call him, or did he call Trump, and did they discuss the outrageous manner in which Trump handled Cruz in the primary? Or, you know, did Trump do something Trump has told us he never has done? Did Trump apologize? Did Cruz finally give up? I mean, there was something of a movement going on to write Cruz in. Did Cruz finally realize that was a long shot and that wouldn't happen, so he threw up their white flag and gave up and stepped forward to openly endorse Trump? Maybe he did it in order to stop that movement from going forward, fearing it would backlash on him. He'd be the reason we end up with Hillary. I don't know. Maybe it simply took some time for Cruz to heal from the wounds inflicted upon him by Trump's brazen and outrageous attacks on him and on his wife. The sort of attacks, by the way, that Trump seems to be unwilling to launch against Hillary. I mean, he said he had some very mean things to say about Hillary and Bill's marriage, but he nobly restrained himself. I mean, he tells us he's too polite to engage in that sort of thing. This is so weird. Yeah. I mean, that really is almost as rich as Hillary talking about how concerned she is with obeying the law. You gotta love that squirrel, right? You can't imagine how difficult it was, by the way, for me to catch that squirrel laughing and get it recorded. Anyone who attacks Trump gets hammered by him. We all know that. He lashes out. For example, the Mikado thing. What was it? Midnight after the debate? Or anyway, Trump is obsessing on this, and he's tweeting, attacking her by exposing her as a Playboy bimbo who made some sort of sex video telling everyone to get, he's telling everyone to go watch it and see who she is. Wow. This is the guy who had near-nude pictures made of his wife while she was his girlfriend on his plane for some kind of publicity thing. That's okay. It was art, you know. Right. This is amazing. You've got Hillary talking about how disgusted she is with Egypt's president for breaking the law. And you've got Trump talking about how disgusting it is for a woman to make a lewd video. But Hillary breaks the law flagrantly and apparently without conscience. And Trump, whatever. You know, the older I get, the better I understand our kids. Whatever. I mean, this deserves an eye-rolling whatever. But Trump does not want to get into a gutter fight with Hillary. Of course not. He only does that with, other GOP candidates. His strategy with Hillary seems to be, well, I'll show that I'm bigger than that. It's so weird, folks, but it does seem to be working for him. I mean, maybe he only throws mud, with rocks embedded in the mud, by the way, at people who can't defend themselves, or people on his own team, or people he believes nobody particularly cares about. I don't know what this man uses for a compass, but apparently his gut instinct tells him to lay off Hillary and Bill. They are old friends, you know. And I don't know, maybe that's it. He has some history with these two, and he has some compunctions about punching out an old friend. Verbally, I mean, of course. He leaves the other kind of punching out to his father. In any event, I don't know why Cruz decided Trump's effrontery and display of ungentlemanly behavior during the primary justify withholding an endorsement at the convention, unless that wasn't it after all. Maybe he felt his supporters were not in a mood to hear him give an endorsement at that time. Or perhaps he was not ready to do so himself, emotionally, whatever. Or his family, or what, I don't know. Now, you know, when we're in the final lap in this contest, perhaps he felt he should just step up and do it. And I'm not sure about all that. I'm still waiting to be convinced Trump is a man who would be just and would rule in the fear of God. And I'm hearing some encouraging things in that direction, at least on the first matter, but we'll get into that. So what about the Mikado Corta Norta? Mikado, you know, who was the Venezuelan beauty contestant that won Miss Universe the first year Trump ran that show. And as I mentioned earlier, Corta Norta is the Venezuelan expression that basically refers to someone who spoils your fun. You know, Hillary dug her up. Trump thinks she helped the Venezuelan get American citizenship as a bribe, as it were, to pay her, to coax her into being a useful pawn in her campaign against Trump. Mikado does seem to have that kind of a character. But anyway, it was odd. When Hillary brought up Mikado, Trump was all, "Where did you find this? Where did you find this? Where did you find this?" Thought me three times. Obviously, he was blindsided by this one. And that tells me the stories I'm reading about Hillary's campaign recruiting Mikado back last summer and prepping her to come out and attack Trump was exactly what Trump is saying that it was, a contrived story. The history of that business is there for anyone to see. Mikado won Miss Universe and almost immediately relaxed and let herself gain a lot of weight. And Trump actually worked hard to help her keep her title. And as her coach, he kind of assumed that position with her, You know, I'm sure he did everything he could to egg her on, right? Even going with her to the gym, and I'm sure he used whatever he could to motivate her. But the facts are these. First, he tried to help her keep her title and get back in shape to fulfill her obligations as Miss Universe. And the second thing to keep in mind, she turned out to be, as he put it, the worst Miss Universe ever. Posing nude for Playboy, having sexual relations with some producer of a sex movie she participated in while she was in a relationship with a baseball player, whom I respect too much to name here. Poor guy. Was engaged to marry this, what we used to call them whores. But when the movie depicting her in a sex act with this other man surfaced, that he dropped her. I think that was honorable. Anyway, it's like I said, going into this election, any hope to keep the campaign focused on matters of importance was lost when both parties nominated these clowns to run for the most important office in the world. I can almost hear heaven laughing. The joke's on us, folks. The heathen raging against God, refusing to bow the knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, screaming, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." And God is in heaven laughing us to scorn. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, he said. And he sends forth the warning, Psalm 2, 10, 11, and 12. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Hold on through the break, folks. I'll be right back.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release norepinephrine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
Lights on, Pastor. I appreciate the brain massage show, and I know it takes a tremendous amount of time and money to produce it. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to appeal to your patriotic listeners to help support the show. So listen up, patriots. You know, there really aren't very many people out there that are doing anything to fix the mess this country has gotten itself into. Pastor Scheidbach is hitting the nail on the head and has really zeroed in on the root cause of not just our nation's problems, but the whole world's. And that is the abandonment of God's principles in our governments, our churches, our schools, and our families. You won't hear politicians speaking the kind of truths that need to be told to affect the kind of change we need. And here is someone who's like a voice in the wilderness trying to get the message out. He needs to be supported, people. You might be saying, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, you can do something patriotic by helping the Brain Massage Show. You can help support the cure and not the problem. Do like I do, go to thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button. Donate a buck, maybe two, whatever you can. And then go tell a friend about the show. Send a link to everyone on your email list. Do it for your children, your grandchildren, your country. Do it for God. Then you can go to sleep tonight knowing that you did something to help. Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for your courage. And keep up the good fight. We're counting on you. Lights on.
Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face with, to confront. The greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps it's been a while since you've experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Or perhaps you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, you'll know that God is real. Come, encounter God. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria.
Lights on, Pastor. I appreciate the Brain Massage Show, and I know it takes a tremendous amount of time and money to produce it. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to appeal to your patriotic listeners to help support the show. So listen up, patriots. You know, there really aren't very many people out there that are doing anything to fix the mess this country has gotten itself into. Pastor Scheidbach is hitting the nail on the head and has really zeroed in on the root cause of not just our nation's problems, but the whole world's. And that is the abandonment of God's principles in our governments, our churches, our schools, and our families. You won't hear politicians speaking the kind of truths that need to be told to affect the kind of change we need. And here is someone who's like a voice in the wilderness trying to get the message out. He needs to be supported, people. You might be saying, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, you can do something patriotic by helping the Brain Massage Show. You can help support the cure and not the problem. Do like I do and go to thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button. Donate a buck, maybe two, whatever you can. And then go tell a friend about the show. Send a link to everyone on your email list. Do it for your children, your grandchildren, your country. Do it for God. Then you can go to sleep tonight knowing that you did something to help. Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for your courage, and keep up the good fight. We're counting on you. Lights on.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Stand by.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern light, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. USA Today says Trump is the candidate most unfit to hold the office. Really? In its 34-year history, USA Today has had a no-endorsement policy. What's changed? While it did not completely break from that policy, the editorial board of USA Today made it very clear whom they think is the candidate most unfit to be president, kind of the anti-endorsement. They chose Trump for that honor. Quote, from the day he declared his candidacy 15 months ago, through this week's first presidential debate, Trump has demonstrated that he lacks the temperament, knowledge, steadiness, and honesty that America needs from its presidents. And what Hillary does. Oh, man. The USA Today is not the only news organization that has broken from its tradition in this extraordinary election. From the same article where I got this news, quote, on Tuesday, the Arizona Republic editorial board endorsed Clinton, making the first time it had backed a Democrat for president in its 126-year history. And it goes on, the Dallas Morning News, the Cincinnati Inquirer, and the Houston Chronicle, all with traditionally conservative editorial pages, have also backed Clinton in recent months. And it tells us that the Morning News hadn't backed a Democrat for the White House since before World War II. And then on Thursday, the Detroit News abandoned Republicans for the first time in 143 years by endorsing the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. As it happens, Johnson, who didn't qualify for the general election debates, has actually collected more newspaper endorsements than Trump, end quote. But at least in one poll, Trump has pulled even farther ahead after the debate. The L.A. poll has Trump up by something like 6 points. The other polls show them at a statistical dead heat. Okay, so we need to talk about the debate. Now, first thing to note is that it was the most listened to debate in the history of televised presidential debates. Over 80 million viewers. The second thing to note is that it was disappointing to any of us who were looking forward to a possible Trumper tantrum or a Hillary horror show meltdown. I understand that her coughing fit attack happened a little while after the debate, so anyway. The third thing to note is that there were some actually pretty good questions thrown in for the candidates to answer. They talked about their differing views on what to do about the economy, which included a discussion on the issue of trade, and they also discussed issues of concern to us about security. And I must say, on substance, Trump spoke more to issues of substance with actual plans articulated in his responses to address those things that are of concern to us than did Hillary. And also, while Trump certainly shot some jabs at the jaw with comments critical of Hillary, I noticed that it was always on the substantial issues of concern in this election. While on the other hand, leave it to Hillary. She's the one who brought up the fluff stuff, you know, the mudslinging stuff. You know, he doesn't talk nice about women, all that. He calls girls names. You know, he stiffed some people who worked for him years ago. Oh, and he was charged with racial profiling and renting practices. You remember all that. You know, the mudslinging sort of things. He answered all of these very well, by the way. I think he effectively neutralized each of these attacks. But Trump basically targeted his attacks on the more substantive issues, and I thought he did a fair job. Of course, you're dealing with Trump, so you have to watch the debate to really get what he's saying, because frankly, reading a transcript of Trump speak is kind of like reading Uncle Remus. I don't mean here that there's a challenge in understanding a strange dialect, but rather in following his dialectics. I mean, it's hard to follow his reasoning when reading the transcript of his statements because his verbiage is not straightforward. He often, you know, uses statements that aren't comprised of complete independent clauses. Rather, he speaks in phrases and then restarts his thoughts abruptly. Actually, he talks in the manner that most common people really talk to each other, especially when speaking about a topic that stirs them emotionally. It's part of what gives Trump his appeal to people whose ear is turned off by political speak. You know, those who instinctively suspect those who talk smoothly. They have learned to mistrust people who talk like politicians, and Trump doesn't. So I don't think it's going to hurt him particularly, at least not this time around. But it does create challenges for guys like me that would rather read a transcript than listen to the talkers. Anyway, as I analyze the first debate, here's what I see. First, on substance, Hillary shows that she is a socialist. I mean, I'd go farther and say she is in her heart a full-blown communist. She wants to make the economy fairer. You know, and this, she said, starts with raising the national minimum wage and also guarantee, finally, equal pay for women's work, end quote. Now, let me ask you a few simple questions. You know, we could go deep. We could talk about Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. We can talk about Keynesian economics. We could talk about the more modern versions of socialist economics, like Kenneth Arrow with Economic Equilibrium, who explained why markets cannot handle healthcare problems without government, blah, blah. We could talk about Gary Becker, who introduced economics driven by sociological factors. We could talk about Barbara Bergman, who wants a feminist-based economy. Anyway. And Alan Greenspan, you know, with his fascination with manipulation of the economy via control of interest rates and so on. But how long do I have, you know, so that's not going to work. Let me ask you a couple of simple questions. Hillary wants a fairer economy. Well, how many times have you found yourself needing to explain to your kids something basic about life? And that is, who said life is fair? The fact is, life isn't necessarily fair, and we can't enforce fairness. Of course, many have confused the idea of fairness with justice these days. However, these are not the same things. You have to listen close to discern the distinction between the words fairness and justice as they're used today. Essentially, it comes down to this. Enforcing fairness will involve encouraging resentment and or shame for having certain advantages by just nature or in stature. And sometimes even for having advantages that somebody has earned or obtained by hard work, you know, by yourself or by some forebear. Justice, on the other hand, protects the rights of all, whether or not they enjoy this or that natural or earned advantage. Now, progressive ideas of fairness involve attempting to even out the disadvantages of those who are not as advantageously naturally endowed or whose family pedigree did not pass on to them certain advantages that they either earned or obtained by taking advantage of their natural or earned advantages. And so the Hillarys of this world believe that those who have this world's goods have, by virtue of that alone, an unfair advantage over those who do not. But that is not the business of government, and in fact, it is impossible for government to interfere with this operation of nature, with this function of chance, and so on that happens to us all, without interfering with justice, without actually perverting justice, and ultimately taking away justice from everybody. Trump's view is summarized in his statement that we should pay women equal pay when they produce equal work. Now, this might be considered by some to be unfair, since in many professions, women are at a distinct disadvantage naturally. In others, they have an advantage. Women cannot simply work as hard or for as long as a man can in some occupations, probably, frankly, in most occupations. Now, there are exceptions, of course, and a Trump approach accommodates for that. A woman should receive equal pay for equal work. That's something everyone can get their head around, but that's not good enough for communists like Hillary. They want equal pay based on gender, period. If a man gets X dollars, then a woman should get X dollars. So on the economy, Trump wins. His view is just, whereas Hillary's view of economics is based on an unjust premise. Her idea is to enforce, for example, profit sharing. You know, her idea is that, quote, if you help create profits, you should be able to share in them, not just the executives at the top, end quote. Huh. Okay. I'm all for profit-sharing companies. But profit-sharing companies cannot profit-share unless they also share the liabilities. If the employees are going to share in the profits beyond their salaries or wages, you know, by the way, that is their share of the profits, you know. I mean, they do get their share, but to be just, as a owner of a business, if they're going to share their profits, if they're going to be compelled to do it, then they should also be able to expect the employees to pick up their share of the risks, you know, and all the risks should be as distributed as the profits, so that if a company goes under, the employees are on the hook for paying off the debts and so on. Besides, shouldn't the business owner have the right to decide if he wants to organize his business in a profit-sharing scheme? I mean, does an owner of business have any rights at all that we should be obliged to acknowledge or honor? Isn't it true that a businessman who risked his capital in starting a business is in fact sharing profits with every employee check he writes? Anyway, we can enforce justice, but we can't enforce fairness. We cannot adjust the playing field in a way that removes from those who are naturally endowed with abilities or who have worked hard to develop other advantages without doing great violence to justice. And then we have the issue of guns. You know, Hillary blames the guns, and Trump rightly blames the perpetrators who use the guns illegally. Or at least that's the gist of what he believes. She says, quote, "The gun epidemic is the leading cause of death of young African-American men, more than the next 9 causes put together," end quote. Well, that is absolutely absurd. You know, and then with regard to those commissioned by God to be his ministers executing wrath upon evildoers, Hillary says, "We have to work with the police. We have to make sure they respect communities and the communities respect them. And we have to tackle the plague of gun violence, which is a big contributor to a lot of the problems that we're seeing today," end quote. Now, that's wrongheaded in so many levels, it's hard to zero in on the main points. The plague of gun violence? Excuse me, it's a plague of gang violence. It's a plague of the lack of enforcement of justice, by the way, in those communities that has been exacerbated by politicians who demagogue these criminal thugs, using them to push their anti-gun agenda. You know, instead of getting aggressive about enforcing justice in these communities, Trump has it right. Quote, "Well, first of all, Secretary Clinton doesn't want to use a couple of words, and that's law and order. And we need law and order. If we don't have it, we're not going to have a country," end quote. He is dead on with that. He goes on to say, no, the argument is that we have to take the guns away from these people that have them, and they are bad people that shouldn't have them, end quote. But you see, even Trump has some work to do in clearing his head of some of his the former liberal fog that occupied it for so long until his late conversion. He was not always a champion of Second Amendment rights, you know. He says to him, these are felons. These are people that are bad people that shouldn't be, you know, when you have 3,000 shootings in Chicago from January 1st, when you have 4,000 people killed in Chicago by guns, right, from the beginning of the presidency of Barack Obama, his hometown, you have to have stop and frisk. You need more police. You need a better community, you know, relation. You don't have good community relations in Chicago. It's terrible. I have property that goes on. The point is, you see what I mean? He still has a little bit of blame the gun in his rhetoric, but I think it's pretty much out of his heart. There's no question at all that between the two, Benghazi Hillary, email deleting Hillary, Muslim Brotherhood loving Hillary, lying Hillary, rapist enabling Hillary, clearly she is truly the most unfit person ever to hold the office of president. And I've got to sign off. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call, let me know you see they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave me a lights on or a lights off message. I'll get back to you if you like, if you let me know you want me to call you back. Or go to our website, brainmassage.net. And that is brainmassage.net. Or you can go to brainmassageshow.com, either of those places. You can write to me an email. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.